This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money is presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. You can find out more at Zyn.com. Well, I wait for it. I do. I don't know if Dustin does, but I wait for it all week. It's the final hour of the program on a Friday, and we are joined by our colleague and better, Mike Somich, of course, host of The Handle, noon to 3 Eastern time, Saturdays and Sundays. One of the best to do it. He's been like 30 straight weeks atop the leaderboard. Has he been going through it over the past couple of days? Yes, but as a friend, I'm here to uplift. A little earlier, I actually wrote the quote down. Dustin, I said, Somich sent over because he's a volume player as well. He sent over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plays. And Dustin said he's, quote, chasing. Now, before I introduce the boys, let me just peel back the curtain a little bit. What makes VSiN, what makes our friendship, and what makes sports betting wonderful is it's competitive. But when you have a bunch of dudes and girls getting involved in something like this, ego gets involved. Now, the big guy, he's been quiet lately. And you generally hear a lot from him when he comes off a 6-0 weekend. But he's been just a little quiet recently. And the only thing he's been loud about is pointing out that Somich, over the past 2 days, hasn't had his best handicapping over the past two and been taking shots. So I'll start with the big guy here. As much as you want to sugarcoat it, you are a competitive guy. And there's a certain, it's almost like when Drew Bledsoe got injured. Did he want the Patriots to win the Super Bowl?
No, I agree.
When you're going 0 for your past 16, do you want Somich to hit bets? I start with you.
Well, no, because it means that it's a hard board to bet right now. If someone like Mike, who I consider to be smarter and sharper than me, if he's also
stupid,
if he's also struggling, that means it's justified that I'm also struggling because I'm probably seeing things similar to him, and then I'm honored to be in his company. And then I feel better about losing because he's losing with me. Misery loves company. That's the first thing I'll say there. The next.
Okay. Oh, you have more. Oh, pardon me. Sorry, go ahead.
I did say that Mike was chasing. I can confirm the report. I did say that, but I never said he was chasing me. I said he was chasing who he was 3 days ago on that leaderboard. That's who he was chasing, not me. And then finally, the reason Somich has really annoyed me lately is because, as I mentioned, I consider him to be like one of the sharpest people in the world, one of the smartest guys I know.
Oh, gosh.
But what's annoying is when a bet goes wrong, I hear his voice. So when he has said to me several times, well, that's why in the first five, you don't bet the over, you only bet the under. And that's why for the full game, you bet the over because of extra innings. And that's why with this underdog, you do this. And with this overdog, you do that. And with this, you do that.
Overdog.
So I've got him in my head. Every time something goes wrong, I hear his voice explaining what he's already explained to me, and that's annoying me.
You might not believe it, Mike, but within the hour, you're going to get a chance to talk. So feel free.
Yeah, I mean, maybe at some point.
Oh, welcome to my life.
I learned a couple things here. First off, I should be charging Dustin. I'm living rent free in Dustin's head here. I mean, that's pretty obvious. If he's hearing my voice, he goes through his bet. Secondly, I never said to you, Dustin, you should be doing that. You just instinctively know you're making bad bets and you need to be adjusting them. You're starting to learn this is a good thing, Dustin. That listen to that voice, start switching it up.
Is he taking credit for my incoming winning streak next week? He's already taking credit ahead of time.
I mean, Dustin's, yes, a little bit.
Dustin's reasoning for wanting Somich to miss bets when he's missing bets, I wrote it down. It proves the board has been tough. That was a long way to go for an excuse there, Somich.
Yeah, it hasn't been that awful. I've been 6-6 the last 3 days, but yesterday's 1-4 dropped me off the leaderboard for the first time in a while. So we gotta try and get it back here. We gotta try and find a way to get it going. Got 7 bets today. I like them all. Quite a few of them are plus money. So hopefully have a good day. Turn it around, like you said, Patrick. I'm a volume better, especially in the summer when I'm not playing as the bigger unit size on these baseball games. So I'm gonna take a lot of swings on these days and hopefully we can get hot.
I'm cheering for both of you. I am. I truly am. And I like the competition. You guys are both great at it. So let's do this. Let's hit a couple of things. One, no article from Samich today on a Friday because we've got a football betting guide coming out towards the end of June, and Mike is writing up the NFC West. So be on the lookout for that. Two, we haven't had a chance, I don't believe, to talk to you since the Belmont concluded at Saratoga. Let's go through what we learned. You didn't have door. Nobody had door knock. So to be fair to everybody there, and what horse players that maybe have gotten into it with you and Halterman and us talking about the Triple Crown, what to look forward to next.
Well, I mean, we've got Saratoga coming up in full. So that's it's always exciting when you get into July. You've got both Saratoga and Del Mar running two of the best boutique meets, one on each coast. Phenomenal racing, big fields. So we got a lot to look forward to when we get up to there. We also have the Stars and Stripes Festival, which is going to be at Aqueduct this year with Belmont being closed. That's going to be over the 4th of July weekend. That is a phenomenal racing festival as well. It's kind of the lead into Saratoga. You see a lot of stakes horses running there. And then we get to step forward and start talking about the Breeders' Cup preps. We're going to have a lot of win in your in races. And if you want to be a little hardcore, and Patrick, I'm not sure, you get up early. Royal Ascot is coming up, and it's the number one meet overseas where you have 30 horse fields, literally 30 horse fields. It kind of feels like throwing darts sometimes, but if you hit one triple, it pays out huge. They have anywhere from 6 to 8 races a day. You get to see the best European turf horses all face off over there. Generally, you're going to see a winner or two from the Breeders' Cup in a few months run at Ascot. So it's a great way to kind of learn a little bit more about the European side of the racing and what horses may come over and we may see here at Del Mar this fall.
Yeah, well, for those that don't know Royal Ascot, you may see pictures back in the day, RIP, Queen Elizabeth used to show up at Royal Ascot because people may not know this. She was a horse owner. She was huge into horse racing. It is like the biggest thing in England, the pageantry, the pomp, the circumstance, it's all there. Great racing as well. Like you said, it's a little hard because the fields are so big. Now let's go back to a 10 horse field. Should we take anything from the horse that won the Belmont?
I mean, this Triple Crown, as you like to say, Patrick, all these horses are mid. We just don't have a great horse through this crop, which means that they're kind of playing winner's roulette. And you spin the wheel, and one of them's going to be able to win that day. The track was playing heavily towards speed, so I think Dornock was flattered specifically by how it played. You also saw Sierra Leone get banged at the break and was way too far back specifically on that track to be able to make the run. So I'm not sure we ever got to see the best version of his race in any of these Triple Crown efforts as well. So I'm not going to take a ton out of it. To me, just like I faded Mystic Dan next time out, just like I faded Seize the Gray next time out, I'm going to be fading Dornock for most likely the rest of the year because you're not going to see this horse get overbet because of that Belmont win. So I'll be taking shots against Dornock moving forward.
And we will be fading the Oilers, and we have been fading the Oilers. I'll read a text from my good friend Mike Samich yesterday. I said, how are we attacking this game today? And he said Panthers plus 122 and Panthers lay a goal and a half plus 245. And I needed that. I need that little jolt. And Samich simply wrote back, can't stop, won't stop. And look, if you're going to get plus 122 to plus 124 on the better team, the idea that you were almost laying $1.50 with the Oilers last night is unconscionable.
It's crazy. It's crazy how the money has come in, too, in this series, Patrick. We were texting before game two, and there was just a flood of Oilers money. That got down to minus 115 on the Panthers in Florida. That's saying that the Oilers are the better team. How you can watch these games and think the Oilers are the better team, beyond me. Last night, we saw the same thing. Late money on Edmonton again. So you end up floating that price all the way up to that 125 number, ends up closing at 124. Look, Florida, if they can stop the Edmonton power play, are clearly the better hockey team. Game one, you saw Edmonton speed give them a little bit of trouble. Since that first game, we have seen the Florida Panthers we saw in the Eastern Conference. We see them be able to hem the Oilers into their own zone. And that game 3 second period was just picture perfect from what we've seen from Florida all playoffs. They get the puck deep. They hit your defenseman. They get to you fast. They turn the puck over and then they score on those opportunities. That's how they were able to get two of their three goals in the second period. That's how they're consistently forcing this Edmonton team into turnovers, into issues. I don't understand why people think this is going to change. To me, this isn't like the NBA where you can have emotional ups and downs. And yes, maybe Edmonton comes out and plays a little bit better. But the bottom line is Florida's still going to put that same pressure on Edmonton every single opportunity they get. I don't see how this flips unless Edmonton all of a sudden scores on the power play a bunch. And I don't see anything to make me believe that they're going to be able to do that.
And one takeaway for me, I didn't know a ton about him. Barkov is amazing. And maybe it's because Columbus, and although they were successful when Bobrovsky was there, I'll say this, that's a Hall of Famer. Two Vezinas, wins a cup. He is not good. He's 35. He is exquisite.
Well, let's not forget, at the start of the playoffs last year, he wasn't even in net for them. His career was over, and he ends up going in and taking that team all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals last year, comes back, has a starting role this year, able to run through the playoffs. And when they needed him last night late in that third period when Edmonton did get the momentum, was able to cut it down to a single goal, he stood on his head. And, yeah, Barkov is so good. And you saw it just on how Edmonton's trying to play against him. So home team gets the last change. They didn't put McDavid out against Barkov once in that game. They did not want McDavid anywhere near Barkov because he's that good on the defensive end. Also scores a goal for Florida there. He's just a very good 200-foot hockey player.
It reminds me of when I kind of watched hardcore Cale Makar for the first time, the defenseman with Colorado, where I was just like, oh my gosh, he pops out of the TV. That's what Barkov is doing two ways. He is fascinating. I mean, McDavid and Draisaitl, yes. But Barkov's been the standout for me. Okay. I feel like we've settled down a little bit. Friendship is back. And that's what I like. I like friendship. And we should talk about Dustin and his good friend Mike Somich. They watched the Belmont together at Stadium Swim. We'll come back with that next. Betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, betting tools, and betting guides. It's all there. Bookmark it, vsin.com. Well, it does appear that somebody feels left out. That would be one Aaron Halterman, who's buzzing in the group right now. And Dustin, back in the group last night with the hockey. It was nice of him to join us. All of a sudden, the group has taken a very perverted turn, which is, that's par for the course. No U.S. Open. Welcome back. Sharp Money presented by Zin. Unbelievable what's happening over there. Mike Somich, host of The Handle, Dustin Sweetelson, Secret Sites. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Let's get back to it, boys. Now, the big guy did a great job with the Cabana at Stadium Swim last Saturday. And tell me what it's like, boys, watching one of the Triple Crown races on the big screen out in 110-degree heat at Stadium Swim, Dustin.
Well, first of all, obviously, I did no handicapping of the race. I just was lucky enough that Mike Somich was right behind me. And I said, Somich, what are we betting? He told me, so we bet it. And then there was a buzz. The crowd was into it. I felt people were building up to that moment. It was very hot, though. And there were quite a few beverages consumed at that point. And the lead-in, and there was a big letdown. That was the unfortunate part. The thing I'm learning, betting horse racing with you guys, is when I lose, my horse isn't in the mix. Very rarely is my horse coming down to the wire. Whenever I do bet on a horse and they're not winning, which I've only won one, I think, now in like 7 years of doing this, they're out of it very early, and that was the case on Saturday with the Belmont.
Yeah, you got to be built different to bet horses. It's a two-minute roller coaster ride that, for the most part, is going to end badly, but it can end well with big profits. Mike, that was your first opportunity to watch it on the big screen at Stadium Swim. What'd you think?
I love Stadium Swim. I thought it was a blast. The Cabana was awesome. Appreciate Dustin setting that up. We had the Nooners flowing there. Not a lot of beer drinking, but we had a lot of Nooners going. The chicken finger platter, a lot of French fries, not as much chicken, but there's not much you can do about that when you're in the moment, right? It was pretty funny. JVT trying to feed Dustin nachos the entire day just because of the weight loss challenge as well. So it was a very good time. I thought Dustin put that well. Look, there was some definite buzz about the Belmont, and they had it up on the big screen. I don't think anyone had Dornock that was in that pool. You did not get very much of a reaction when Dornock crossed the line. It was frustrating, man. It's like you said, it's a whirlwind of emotions inside 2 minutes when you're betting on horses. And you got to remember, when you're playing horses that are 2-1, 3-1, 6-1, 10-1, that's like hitting 2-teamer, 3-teamer, 4-teamer, 5-teamer parlays in sports. That is not easy to do. So it can be a little bit of roller coaster emotions when you're betting on the ponies.
Yeah, it's well put. Did they have the actual call on? Did they have the volume up on the race?
Well, we had it in the cabana, so we heard it. So I'm pretty sure they had it on outside, too. I also want to add, after I said really bad things about Mike, there was one outsider in the group, and that was my friend. And Mike doesn't know this, but my friend was in town. And after meeting everyone at VEASAN, he said to me, my favorite person is Mike Somich. That's what he said to me. Mike Somich, wow. Number one. He said, that guy is just great, a good dude. You can just tell you could hang out with him, have a beer, and he'd just be a good time no matter what.
Take a bow, Somich.
I'm blushing over here. I don't think Dustin's ever been so nice to me in two segments.
Well, I'm not. After I was
like throwing darts at me all day.
I'm not being nice. My friend was being nice. I'm just relaying the message.
And this That's is fair. His guilt catching up to him when he said that you're chasing. So it should be interesting the rest of the way. Love it. Love to see it. All right, boys, let's get to the basketball. Celtics, Mavs. Again, eyeball tests, Somich. No reason to believe that the Mavericks beat the Celtics tonight, but DraftKings is showing the Mavs laying one. Of course, that total continues to come down. We haven't even sniffed the total. It's down to 211, probably not enough. You've got a couple of props tonight, but let's just start with the overview of the game. How can we find reasons outside of just a Luka historic performance to bet the Mavs tonight?
I mean, that is the reason, right? If you want to bet the Mavs and you're looking at this, coming into the series, it was Luka and Kyrie that had to carry Dallas if they were going to be able to win this, and you needed the role players to step up. Three games in, Luka and Kyrie and Tatum and Brown's a wash. That can't happen if Dallas wants to win this series. It had to be Luka and Kyrie that were the better twosome in this series to be able to do it. And then you look at those 3 through 5, and you're comparing, you know, Derek White to PJ Washington. You're comparing even Al Horford to Gafford, right? It's just like they're not as good. You got Drew Holiday, and you're comparing him to who? Derek Jones Jr.? Like, the role players for Boston are just better. So the top two people for the Mavs had to be the best two players in this series. It had to be Luka. It had to be Kyrie. And really, we've never seen them be the best two players on the court. Maybe you could argue game 3 first half they were. And guess what? We were tied at 50 at halftime. It's never Dallas for me here, because I think that you have an emotional situation where it's going to be hard for Dallas to rebound from it. Luka does scare me, but it feels like Boston just wears them down tonight, ends up winning the game. I haven't bet the side. I may end up with a little bit Celtics before we go to the game. I bet the under in the first three games. I'm not going to play the under today. I think it's gotten to the point where there's not any value on taking it now that we're down to 11. But for me, if I was going to bet anything, it would be Boston at this point, just because, like you said, Patrick, they are the better team. I may even go an alt line with Boston, to be honest with you, now that I'm talking through it. Maybe laying 9.5, 8.5 with Boston is the way to go, because if this gets out of hand, it's going to get way out of hand in the Celtics' favor.
Okay, I'm going to start first with the props, boys, and we can just kind of go back and forth. I like Luka 8.5 over in the first. He's going to get that shot. We've seen him tail off in the fourth quarter. I think a lot of that has to do with health. I think there's going to be a focus from him. Obviously, he's apologized to his teammates. He's not going to be bitching at Scott Foster and the crew. I think 8.5 is a good bet to go over for Luka. And then a name that you mentioned, PJ Washington. PJ Washington scored 13 in game 3. He had 1 point at the break, and he got 12 in like 3 minutes. Remember that 22-2 run? He got all his points in that, like, and he had opportunities with two missed threes to go over the 14.5, which is what his player point prop was set at in game 3. They dipped it down to 13.5 on PJ Washington tonight. I'll take the adjustment and go over on PJ Washington. Somich, your first prop tonight.
I'm going to look to Al Horford. I liked him from a points prop perspective, but in game, especially in game 1 in this series where he was at 6.5, you guys talked about that extensively, and we didn't know what we were going to get. If it was going to be Porzingis, it was going to be Horford in the first quarter. Well, even if Porzingis does come back and play today, Horford got those first quarter minutes. His point prop sitting at just 2.5 in the first quarter. Right now you can get over at plus 120. He's going to get at least one open look from three in the first quarter, and they are allowing him to shoot, they being Dallas. I think Horford gets multiple looks in the first quarter. Love the over 2.5 points, plus 120 first quarter for Al Horford.
Love that. Horford's been awesome. More minutes. My guess is no Porzingis tonight. Big guy, you want to throw one in here?
Not a player prop, but I'm going first quarter, first half. Both of them on Dallas. If things play out how they should in this scenario, you should come out at home, down 0-3 with inspired basketball. You should be giving Boston your best possible shot to keep this going. And to Mike's point, if it gets away, it's going to get away late. Because we've seen Boston be able to withstand these runs from Dallas throughout the series. Every time the Mavericks make a run, they have a counter. I think Boston, from a power position tonight, is going to sit back, say, give me your best shot. And when we have to adjust and turn it on, we will, because we know we're deeper, we know we're better. And we know, especially in the minutes when Luka has to hit the bench, that's when they will take over. So I think Boston can win this game late and obviously cover, you know, as a one-point underdog. But I think first half belongs to Dallas and the first quarter.
Okay. We'll continue with the basketball. We've got baseball. We've got the family vids. But we should mention this, Samich. So I don't know if you saw, but Nish Gandhi hit 4 in a row in Sharp Money Survivor. So he has overtaken Manny Davidson atop the leaderboard. I believe, and Dustin, you can correct me, 2 of those hits for Nish has been a no for the home team to bat in the bottom of the ninth. And he gave you props, Samich, because you're the one that discovered this bet and people continue to win with it. This is a good job.
I love it. It's great to hear you. I've been watching Nish's videos. I love these subtle flexes that we get in each video. I don't want to be on Nish's bad side either. He's got some high level trolling, leaving around those Ravens CDs where it just has the Pittsburgh fight song or the Pittsburgh poker, whatever it was. I mean, that's high-level trolling on top of the Crosby jersey when he passes Manny Davidson. So you know the guy is paying attention, and he likes the long con. Those are not the type of people you want to get on the wrong side. Happy people are cashing on this batting no in the bottom of the ninth. I've heard from quite a few people on Twitter that they've been betting it. We haven't seen a major adjustment in the pricing. I actually have seen 5 and 10-cent moves on DraftKings in certain situations, but we haven't seen the 20, 30, 40-cent move that I'm expecting eventually we may see at one point, because I do think these are slightly mispriced. And we can talk about it a little bit more, Patrick, because after betting these for 2 weeks, I do understand why they are priced the way they are. At this point, I'm 8-2 on betting this. And I would be 8-2 if I laid the 1.5 as well. So I've lost juice in that sense. So that is my reasoning as to why it's bet. We can dive a little bit deeper into that next segment.
Yeah, let's come back and clarify that. We'll kind of reset what the bet is and give your overall record and why you think the pricing is what it is. And you're right about Nish with the long con. Also, a subtle flex. Yeah, I did my residency at Johns Hopkins, one of the great medical centers on the planet. So, kind of smart. We're back with Samich on a Friday.
I smoked pot with Johns Hopkins.
Not the same. Okay, spring special, 13 months, $199. You know the deal by now. VSiN.com/subscribe. You get everything the pros get, the picks, the splits, the guides. We've got our football guide coming out towards the end of June. That's going to be part of your VSiN Pro membership. VSiN.com/subscribe. And the promo code is SHARP. And we actually just pulled out of the hat Mr. Funk. I can't remember his first name, Dustin. But he's going to be joining. We'll get to know the pro from those of you that signed up. It's Mr. Funk. What's his first name? I apologize.
Jacob Funk.
Jacob Funk is going to be part of the program next week. So congratulations to Jacob. Part of the program right now, Mike Samich, of course, VSiN host, better. Of course, you can check him out with Matt Brown on Saturdays and Sundays, noon to 3 East on The Handle. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. So let's get your final prop in for tonight's NBA, and then we'll go back to the bottom nine bet you've been making and kind of explain the pricing there. Your second prop is what tonight, Mike?
Going to go to Luka, but I'm going to go to rebounds. Give me Luka Doncic rebounds over 9.5 plus 100 right now. This is a prop that I was targeting early in the series. It opened at 8.5 for game one, got bet up to 9.5, took it to plus 105 in game one to take that over 9.5. It got heavily juiced. It was minus 145 over 9.5 in game three. Now we're seeing a big time adjustment here to just plus 100 for that over 9.5 number for Luka. I still think he has a rebounding edge against the Celtics team that shoots a ton of threes and doesn't have a ton of inside rebounding presence. I think he's able to get to double digits today. And I think the price is right again at plus 100 to take over 9.5 rebounds for Luka.
Yeah, I like that. All right, let's get back to. So we mentioned Nish Gandhi gave props to Mike for digging through over at DraftKings, which I think is still the only book offering the line mitigation, which is essentially when you have a big favorite in baseball, you don't want to lay the big price. You can find upwards of 80 cents as far as a discount on the home team. Yes, no batting bottom nine. So you have to win 8.5 innings essentially, and you get a big discount. That's the setup. Let's talk about how it's gone for you, and after a couple of weeks of betting it, how you kind of suss out the pricing.
Yeah, so I'm 8-2 in 2 weeks of betting it. I actually cannot personally bet it, but giving it out on VSiN.com on the Pit Pro page. Since it is only at DraftKings, I can't bet at DraftKings. I'm not getting action on this, but right now it is 8-2 as a bet, and I've been tracking the juice to it. It would be 8-2 as they know they do not bet in the bottom of the ninth. Also 8-2 minus the run and a half, and you're going to get a better price for that. Anywhere from, in most cases that I've bet it, anywhere from 25 to 40 cents better of a price. If you were just betting the straight money line, you'd be 9-1. So it is a better way after 10 bets to be betting the money line, because you're getting such a discount. Anywhere from 40 to 70 cents is the biggest difference that I have seen off those money line prices. But right now, the run line would be a more profitable play. However, this is one of the voices I'm sure Dustin hears in his head. I never lay the run and a half with the home team. And so it's not something that I want to bet because of the rules situation here, where you're rarely going to be able to win by two if you are up one in the bottom of the eighth, if you are headed to extra innings. So for me, I'm not as worried that the minus one and a half would be more profitable right now than being able to bet this. The key to me still is, I'm ending up betting lines that I would not be betting. I'd be 0-0 in these games. Instead, I am 8-2 because of this specific bet. Will the home team bat in the bottom of the ninth? It's available on DraftKings.com. So I understand why it's priced the way it is. The book is mitigating the risk of people taking the minus one and a half versus this will they bat in the bottom of the ninth no prop with big favorites. But I still disagree with where it's priced, because it creates a situation where it allows you to bet some of these big favorites at significantly reduced money lines, where they are rarely going to win the game and you lose this bet.
Go ahead, Dustin.
I think it's an insurance bet, right? You can go get that plus money. That's fine. We're always chasing that, right? But the run and a half, I'm always hesitant with, just because, look, the difference between laying a run and a half and your bet here to not bat in the ninth is, well, if the team you're backing to not bet in the ninth has a lead late and the lead's big enough, they're not using their best relievers late also. So your one and a half is at risk, where you have to win now by, you know, two runs. Well, if they're not putting their best relievers in the game, there's a chance you don't cover that. Runs will be scored, mess things up. It feels like a much safer play if you want to take a large favorite down and have them not bat in the ninth. I think it's a great play. I still like that side of it.
The pricing, have you come up with an average? Because I've seen 80 cents knocked off. I've seen 60 cents knocked off. Is there a general consensus on what you see the discount being with the no in the bottom of the nine?
So it opens as a split most days. If it is a favorite that is anywhere from like minus 140 to minus 160. So a shorter priced favorite in baseball, you're going to see a split between the run line and the money line. So if let's say the money line is minus 140, the run line is plus 140, you're normally going to see plus 100 for the will the home team bat in the bottom of the ninth. So right dead in the middle. As we get to the bigger favorites, it vastly adjusts. So I've seen as much as, I think Nish actually had 85 cents off on Monday on the play that he made. I've seen as low as 40 to 45 cents off, even on a minus 210 favorite. The one interesting thing about this as well, this does not move dynamically with the money line. So this is clearly changed the way that DraftKings takes action in on it. It is not directly written into, okay, if the money line moves 5 cents, this moves 5 cents. If the money line moves 10 cents, this moves 10 cents. They're treated as two separate bets, which means that you'll have situations where someone opens as a minus 180 favorite and the will they bat in the bottom of the ninth is minus 120. They'll get out the bet out to minus 210. And you'll only see this go up to minus 125 because the money came in on the money line, not in on will they bat in the bottom of the ninth. So it's also a way where if you miss the steam on some of these big favorites, but you want to find a way to bet them, looking at this bet, it's not steaming with the money line, which means it's not moving. It's moving dynamically. The two of them are moving dynamically of each other, which allows you to still be able to play these later in the day after you see some steam coming on one side or another.
Okay, so there's not a direct correlative move with the money line.
No, there's not.
Okay, fascinating. Again, he dug through. We got the call on a Sunday, which I thought meant something was wrong with the family, but it was no. I found a bet I'm obsessed with, and he's gone 8-2 since digging and finding it, and also helped Nish Gandhi to improve to 4-0 in Sharp Money Survivor. Go ahead.
I just want to point out, We don't know how Nish Gandhi ends up if he doesn't have that bet for his very first bet in this contest. If he's not made aware that it exists, more than likely, I mean, he's on his own at that point. So Samich might need to get a portion of his prize here.
I'll just take a Tesla, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, we'll take a self-driving car. Why not? Well, why don't we stick with the theme and get into the baseball bets? So Washington, you've got a no minus 125. Is that on Washington today?
That is on Washington today, yeah. The Nationals taking on the Marlins, so looking forward to betting against the Marlins. Mackenzie Gore on the hill for the Nationals, their best pitcher. You can see on the screen there right now, the Nationals minus 180 on the money line, plus 114 laying the run and a half. You can get the Nationals minus 125 right now to bat in the bottom of the ninth, no. So getting 55-cent value there on Nationals not to bat in the bottom of the ninth. Not a team I'm looking to back at minus 1.5 for this Nationals team, even against a bad Marlins team. But to be able to take a minus 180 down to a minus 125, when I do think it's the better team with a better pitcher, it's a game I would not be betting if it weren't for this bet. But because we can bet whether or not they will bat in the bottom of the ninth, we're going to go Nationals, no, bat in the bottom of the ninth, minus 125.
Okay, big guy, you want to throw a play in?
Yeah, this is one Samich and I are both on, and I believe Halterman might be on it as well, the Padres against the Mets, taking a minus 115. San Diego hitters mash Sean Manaea for their career. Machado and Profar, and Profar is one of the top hitters in baseball right now, is a crazy thing to say in 2024. They specifically kill him. And I just do not trust the Mets bats to hit a knuckleballer. And that Matt Waldron is a knuckleballer, and he's been awesome this year. I don't think they are built for this type of game. San Diego, to me, has a massive edge with the lineup and a massive edge on the mound. I'm back in the Padres.
Anything to add there, Samich? I got the Padres even money right now.
Yeah, I took the Padres minus 105, I believe it was. Maybe it was minus 110. We haven't seen movement toward the Mets. I disagree with it. Look, the Padres lineup just better here.
Yes.
I don't hate betting the Padres and also betting the team total on the Padres over. Right now, the game total sitting at 7.5. You can go out and you can find 3.5 with just a little juice to the over. I think the Padres have success today against Manaea. So I like the Padres in the game. And I like their team total over as well.
Yeah, let me just take a look at their team total. I might go that direction, fading Manaea. Let's see. Team total on San Diego boys is 3.5. Got to lay a little juice, but I like that.
Yeah, Manaea's gotten roughed up. Back-to-back starts to Philly and Arizona, who also hit lefties well. San Diego hasn't been as good against lefties this year, but last year were awesome.
Mets bullpen stinks, too.
Bad.
This is one of those where I want full game. I don't want just first half.
Yeah, and I'm guaranteed the top of the nine, too.
Yep.
So 3.5, got to lay a little juice, but I do like that. Expected it to be a little bit higher. Okay, good explanation on bottom nine. You actually have one more of those, which we can get to next. We've been getting trolled by the Plus Money Prince, MrRacingDudes.com, Aaron Halterman, and it's probably because he's bitter his video hasn't been played yet. He watches just to wait to see himself, and you're going to see him coming up next with the family bid and more plays from the boys. Mike Samich, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money presented by Zim. DraftKings in the NBA, official betting partners. Remember, you can bet tonight. If you're a new customer at DraftKings, bet $5, get $150 instantly. It's paid for in bonus bets, but you have to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, DraftKings. The crown is yours. Dustin Sweetelson, Vegas. Patrick Maher, Los Angeles. Santa Barbara with Samich. He had been to Vegas over the past, I think, two straight weeks. He takes a weekend off, and he'll be hosting the handle there from Santa Barbara Saturday and Sunday, noon to 3. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up, and we'll get to the vids, our buddy Aaron Halterman, the Plus Money Prince. You know what's fascinating is Edmonton is going to be a favorite tomorrow in game 4, but it is that conundrum. And what I mean by this is, and I don't think that there's, I'd have to dig through the numbers, when a team is up 3-0 and they have an opportunity to close on the road. And I bring this up because the Red Wings were so dominant when I was growing up. You know what I'm about to say? It's like, Florida Panthers fans want Florida to win tomorrow, but they'd be okay if they lost because you'd like to close on home ice because there's nothing better than an on-ice celebration with the Stanley Cup. That shouldn't affect our handicapping here, Samich, as the Oilers are going to be favored and they are much the inferior team. But you understand there's a little bit of an emotional play there, too.
Yeah, you could make the case that, like, in the back of their head, maybe they're thinking about how much rather they lift it in Florida. But first off, Florida doesn't have the best home ice advantage. It was over flooded with Rangers fans. There's a bunch of Edmonton fans there for game one and game two. Secondly, if I'm the home team in the series and I play one and two at home, I win those two, I really want to finish this in four. Because if you lose game four and you go back home and you don't win game five, all of a sudden you're going back to Edmonton for game six up 3-2 with all the pressure in the world on you in that game six and game seven. Edmonton's playing with house money at that point. If I'm Florida, I want to just finish this as soon as possible. I still think Florida, you're going to get a really good effort from them here in game four. And I just don't think Edmonton's game stacks up very well against them. I think we're seeing the same thing in the NBA. Dallas doesn't stack up well against this Boston team. Edmonton doesn't stack up well against this Florida team. I think both are most likely closing it out in a sweep here.
Yeah, and they showed you something. Florida's just built different. When that lead got trimmed to one, still 5 minutes to play, they locked in defensively. Bobrovsky was awesome. Team on a mission right now. I totally
also,
agree.
Also, your boy Draisaitl. In the postseason, Oilers 0-5 when he doesn't record a point. Can't win if your stars don't show up when it matters. He's Jason Tatum of hockey.
Okay.
That's
nice
harsh.
Nice little
also,
corollary
Jason
there.
Also, Tatum is one game away from winning the finals. So
well, up
sure
until now. Up until now.
Dustin's standing on calling him a loser, so he's hoping that the Mavs certainly come
what
back.
What does he want?
Tatum. We shall see.
He's got
it's
an
a good
Olympic
point
gold,
by you, big
right?
guy. I'm not fighting. It's Friendship Friday. No fights. Speaking of friendship, family vids. Let's get to them, Dustin.
Yeah, safety first, then friendship. Let's go with the plus money prince, Aaron Halterman, racingdudes.com, Dudes Who Bet Sports podcast, and he has got a baseball sharp money family play for us today.
Sharp money family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Back here for a Friday to round out the week. And I'm going to give you a minus 110 special. I'm going to go San Diego Padres tonight on the road. Say, take on the New York Mets. Well, it's you know, if a team's minus 110, to be serious, that means it's a pick'em game, you know, toss-up game. And I don't know what world you see the Padres and the Mets and think it's a toss-up. I think the Padres are clearly the better team. Both teams playing decent right now. You know, the Mets are playing a little bit better, but facing better competition tonight with the Padres. So then you look to the pitching matchup, and I don't really see where it's a big favor one way or the other. You know, both pitchers similar-ish. I will say, though, Matt Waldron, the pitcher for the San Diego Padres tonight, he's been really good his last five games. He's pitching very well. So if he comes in there and has another good outing tonight, I don't see how the Mets get the job done. I think the Padres are going to get this done pretty easily. It is a minus price. I usually play plus monies, but I just think the price is just weird for this one. So for my best bet today, I'm going to go San Diego Padres minus 110.
Okay. As much as I want to lean into the 110, I will give you credit, Mr. Halterman. It's steamy right now with the Mets, so you do have even money, not necessarily plus, but even money on the San Diego Padres today. So no more 110. Get a better price if you like the Padres at even money. Okay.
I got to say, we might need to rethink the nickname. That's 3 weeks in a row I've come on here, and he said, I'm the plus money prince, and then played a minus number.
Ooh, shots fired on a Friendship Friday.
Wow.
I had nothing. I had nothing to do with that, Halterman. Text incoming in 3, 2, 1. I'm waiting for
that. That was some friendly fire over there.
Yeah, that was across the bow. Wait, don't worry. We'll have a response before the show is done. I assure you. Hey, it's fair to say it. Maybe he isn't the plus money prince. Yeah. Maybe we got to come up with the minus money moniker for him. All right, big guy, who's next? We got one more video.
He did help me with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
W-I-N. All right, Stuart Durst, member of the family now. He's been really consistent with these videos, and he's got a player prop in NBA Finals Game 4 tonight. You can catch him on X at Monotone Football, one L on the end of that. And here's Stuart Durst with his Sharp Money family play for today.
What's up, Sharp Money family? Stuart Durst at Monotone Football here. And today's best bet is going back to my favorite market in the world. We're going Luka Doncic over 8.5 first quarter points over this number in 2 of 3 games this series with double digits. He's averaging 9.7 first quarter points in the postseason. But guys, this is not anything new. Over the last 3 seasons, he's been top 2 in first quarter scoring in each one of those series. He is the king of this market. He's the most dominant first quarter scorer on the planet, especially still alive in this postseason. Guess what? Backs against the wall. All the hatred in the world has been directed towards this man. I know he's going to come out with a fury, and this team needs to. They're back against the wall. They're about to be eliminated, and their star player needs to do what he does best, and that's score the basketball. For me, one of my favorite bets all year long, but obviously with the heightened circumstances, likely going to play the full 12 minutes in the first quarter. I think Luka Doncic comes out on fire today.
Great job, Stuart. Appreciate it. Give him a follow at Monotone Football with 1 L. So he's lined up with me 8.5 over Luka first quarter points tonight, boys. Okay. Before we get out, anything before closing tabs? Did we miss anything? Mike, we'll start with you. Did you want to throw another play in? Thoughts? Anything?
Sure, I'll throw one more play in here. Since Aaron didn't give out a plus money price, I'll go to our Reds last year, which we all loved, and we'll take the first half year. Reds plus 130. I have Hunter Green on the mound for Cincinnati, taking on Peralta for Milwaukee. I think we got a pitching edge and a slight hitting edge here for Cincinnati, so we're going to go the Cincinnati Reds plus 130 first five.
We do have a response. We do have a response from Halterman, and it's a right cross that may knock out the boys. Let's see. So Samich said, is he the plus money prince? Because he's been giving out some favorites here. And Halterman simply said, I let the scoreboard do my talking and sent over that he is second on the VSiN expert scoreboard.
Yeah.
So that is quite a response.
I'd also like to say that 1, 2, 3 of his last 4 plays have been plus money that have won.
Well, well done, Aaron. Well done.
Oh.
Got you good.
Samish is going to look out his window, realizes he's in Santa Barbara, and be just fine.
Forget about it.
It'll be okay. Let's close tabs, yep, boys, before we get out of here, big guy.
I thought it was interesting because we have a new Sharp Money Survivor leader in Nish Gandhi. And we went back and looked. We've done 17 of these things, Patrick, and I know many people doubted we even get to like 2 or 3.
That is true. By the way, speaking of numbers, congrats to Bill Belichick. He is dating a 24-year-old
I just saw that.
Cheerleader. I'm sure people are starting to see it pop up in their feeds. It's good to be king, I guess. He's 72. She's 24. Who said love didn't exist? Sure. Mike Samich, your thoughts?
Just 48 years difference. That's all. What could go wrong?
Nothing.
Not with modern science and blue pills.
Nothing could go wrong. That's quite a pessimistic attitude from you, big guy. I believe in love and ice cream and angels. What else?
Her name's Jordan Hudson. It's Flag Day. So happy Flag Day, everyone. It was created in 1916 by Woodrow Wilson. Great alliteration name. Of course, the flag sewn by Betsy freaking Ross. Shout out to Old Glory.
And of course, Mike, we love America.
Can't back the Oilers.
You agree with my take that while I love the United States, the Canadian national anthem slaps.
It slaps in Canada. I put it on your computer right after this show and tell me if it slaps if you're just there in your own room.
I got some homework before as the show comes to an end. I'll be chilling at the condo listening to the Canadian national anthem. Samich tomorrow, noon to 3. Thank you. I will.
Noon to 3.
Samich tomorrow, noon to 3 on the handle. Big guy, tremendous job by you. Halterman, you got your attention. Now go win some bets. We'll see you on Monday.